I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today and to fill in. I'm sorry that the Fergusons are dealing with the COVID thing, but most of us, or many of us, have had to deal with that, and hopefully they will recover quickly and be back in place again. I know you will look forward to that. The passage that was read, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, is a significant passage because it helps us to understand why we need the Old Testament. I've heard even brethren, those who are members of the Lord's church, say, well, I don't really like the Old Testament. I'm not under that covenant. I don't see why we need to study it. But this was an inspired apostle, the Apostle Paul, who said the things that were written aforetime or were written earlier were written for our learning, for our instruction, that we through them could be comforted and have hope. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we need to have that concept in mind. It's there for a purpose. God knew that you and I could benefit from spending time studying the Old Testament. We can learn from their mistakes. And really, that's the topic of the lesson this morning, is learning from other people's mistakes. We could go through the Old Testament, begin in the book of Genesis, and go completely through the Old Testament. And we could find example after example after example of individuals who either ignored what God had asked of them or directly disobeyed what God had said. And I want to just look at two examples in this lesson. The first would be in Genesis chapter 3, where in the Garden of Eden, we find there Adam and Eve in that perfect environment. And you know, you just think about being in the Garden of Eden, that perfect climate, everything was just ideal. They had every need met. And yet, what happened in the Garden of Eden? If you look at Genesis chapter 3, where you read the fall of man, the first sin that was committed, And what you find there is that here's the serpent. This is Satan represented in the serpent. And he comes on the scene and asks this question. He's crafty. So he asks the question, has the Lord said that you should not eat of the fruit of a particular tree? And the woman answered, he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And we know the rest of the story. We know that he enticed and said, you know, it's delicious. It'll make you wise. It'll open your eyes. You'll know the difference between good and evil. All of that sounded very appealing. And the mistake that was made there, Eve believed Satan. And John chapter 8 and verse 44 tells us that Satan is the father of liars. He is the one who introduced the whole idea of deception to the human race. And we as human beings need to understand that we can't trust Satan. He's not telling the truth. He is not working in our best interest. And so Eve made a mistake. She trusted Satan when he told her to do something that God had said she should not do. She did that, gave the fruit to her husband, And you know the rest of the story. What do we learn from that example? Number one, you need to question when somebody comes along and says, oh, this is fun. Oh, you'll like this. Oh, you know, this will make you feel good. Whatever they say, you need to remember that as a child of God, one who is a member of the Lord's church, you need to remember that you don't trust anybody, friend or foe. You don't trust anybody who says you can ignore what the Bible says. You don't have to listen to God. Here, you do what I'm telling you. Don't ever trust any individual who says to you, ignore what God has said. You don't have to do that. It is true that we have freedom of will. We don't have to do it. But if we're smart, we're not going to believe anybody who tells us to ignore what God has clearly communicated to us in His Word. And the next example that I want to go to is during the time of the prophets. And I want us to deal, both lessons today will come from the book of Hosea. And that's an interesting book, because what happened to the nation of Israel? Of course, you know, after they had been in Egyptian bondage, they finally came back, got back to the land of Canaan. And when they came into the land of Canaan, there were Canaanites living there, and they had been there for a long time, and they were farmers, and the children of Israel had been after captivity in Egypt for 400 plus years. They were there making bricks and doing things of that nature, weren't farmers. And so when they got back to the land of Canaan, the Canaanites were there, and the Canaanites were worshiping false deities. They had their own gods. And the Egyptians had their own gods. They worshiped the sun god, Re. And all of that had an impact on the children of Israel. But particularly when they came back to Canaan, the Canaanites were worshiping three male deities and three female deities. The male deities were El, E-L, that spell, Baal, B-A-A-L, and Dagon. Those were the three male deities. And the female deities were Asherah, Ashtaroth, and Anath. And the Canaanites in their religion, their basic rites and things they did were asking their false deities to help them to obtain fertility for humankind, for animal kind, and fertility for their fields. They were farmers, and they wanted to have crops that were successful, and so they appealed to those deities. Now, the children of Israel, instead of being faithful to God, who had delivered them from Egyptian bondage, brought them back to the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, instead of being careful, they began to digress. They began to be influenced by the people round about them. That's one of the things that God's people needs to always be careful of. You know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. He wanted them to be separate from others. He wanted them to be a people who were dedicated to Him and to serving Him. But Israel, when they began to be influenced by the Canaanites and their false religion, God sent to them the prophets. And in particular, he sent the prophet Hosea. And I want to look at the book of Hosea from the point of view of the things that the children of Israel did that caused them to digress and not be what God wanted them to be. There are seven things in particular that are listed in the book of Hosea, not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in that order, but if you read through the book of Hosea, you're going to find, like in chapter 4 and verse 1, it's God's controversy with Israel. God was not happy with what was happening in Israel. In chapter 4 and verse 1, and I read from the New American Standard, it says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." They were being influenced by the Canaanites. They had been influenced by the Egyptians, but God had brought them out and had given them the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and Moses was their leader and their lawgiver. But here Hosea is saying, God has a controversy with you. He has a problem with you, and why he has a case against the inhabitants of the land. No faithfulness, no kindness, or knowledge of God in the land. They didn't have what you and I have. They didn't have God's written word. And therefore, they were limited in their knowledge of God. What about us? Are we as familiar with the Word of God? We are blessed to have it in written form. We are blessed to have it, you know, readily available. And we can study it. We can read it. Do we have the knowledge that we need? Without knowledge, we will perish. Without knowledge, the church will digress. And that was a problem. And what Hosea was saying to the people, listen, hear the word of the Lord. That's our authority. That's how we learn what is expected of us, what God wants from us. No faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in the land. You know, I'm concerned, and I'm sure that the leadership here is too, that in different parts of the country now, the people who have been in days gone by committed to the restoration of pure, simple New Testament Christianity. Let's be Christians only, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, just Christians doing what the book says for us to do. I've got a friend in Rogersville. He's a member of a denominational group. He's a fine fellow. He's a good friend. But he is basically doing everything that group has done. And he and I were talking one day, and he does all the physical things around the building and all of that. And I commented to him, well, you know, we have elders and deacons take care of those physical things in the Lord's church. He said, it sounds like you're trying to follow the Bible. And I said, you know, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We want to restore New Testament Christianity. Practice it every day. But one of the things that I find concerning is that there are churches of Christ in the U.S. today. Many are deciding, well, you know, maybe instrumental music, maybe we ought to consider that. Or maybe letting women have roles in the church that are not in harmony with the teaching of the New Testament. Those are things that are digressions. Hear the word of the Lord. Do what the book says. We have a written message and we can study it. I know one young preacher, and I admire him greatly. He says, I read through the New Testament once every month. That's a pretty good challenge. I read through the New and Old Testaments every year, and I read some in addition to that, but think about that. Reading through the New Testament in 30 days, that's a pretty good challenge. Hear the word of the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to make the same mistake that the nation of Israel made. They began to appeal to those false deities. Another problem that they had was in chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, moreover, the pride of Israel testifies against him, against Israel and Ephraim, and Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also has stumbled with them. Pride. Pride can be a real problem. You hear the wise man in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 say, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride. I heard one politician not too long ago. He was asked, have you ever asked for forgiveness? He said, why would I do that? I've never done anything wrong. That's sad. It really is. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need forgiveness. None of us are perfect, but pride led to the fall of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 6, the statement is made, we have heard of the pride of Moab, an excessive pride, even in his arrogance, pride, and fury, his idle boast are false. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but understand that all of us are sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God, and we need his forgiveness. So Israel was lacking in knowledge of the word. They allowed their pride to get out of hand. Thirdly, they were not grounded. They were not sound. Look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4. He said, what shall I do with you, Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. You know, in the last week, we could see exactly what he was talking about here. You know, I've gotten up. We have a couple of dogs that we walk every morning, and you get up and the ground is wet with dew, and on those frosty mornings, you see frost, and then the sun comes up, and boy, it's gone. That just disappears. And so what he is saying is that the children of Israel, they were indeed like the morning dew that's there and then just vanishes away. Their loyalty, their stick-to-itiveness was not there. Their stability was not there. And you know, when we begin to look at Christians, we need that stability. We need to be stable. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, he said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And that church that Paul was writing to was a church that had had a lot of trouble. They were being tolerant of sin in their midst. And I say all of that to say that we really need to get grounded in the Word, stay in the book, follow the teaching that's there. If we begin to drift, we will eventually get away from what God would have us to be. The fourth thing, they failed to live separate from the world. Distinctive Christian living is what is needed in our world today. You know, Paul said, "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate." And the children of Israel began to mix with the Canaanites. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Friendship with the world is enmity or hostility toward God." Think about that. The children of Israel were called to be a distinctive people. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 53. The statement is made to the Israelites, speaking of God, He had separated the children of Israel from the people of the earth as His inheritance. They had a special relationship with God. And they had been called to be separated. And you and I, as the Israel of God today, the Lord's church, we are to live in the world, but not to be of the world. The old illustration that I've heard used so many times in sermons is it compared to the boat being in the water, but not the water in the boat. We live in the world, but we're not to let the world live in us. I heard an expression many years ago, a preacher in a lesson maybe similar to this said, you know, if you live like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, how in the world are you different from the world? And that's a challenge to you and I. We don't want to be a sore thumb standing out over there, but I'm telling you what, if we're Christians, if we're committed followers of Christ, we're going to be different from everybody else. Why? Because they have different priorities. You and I want to serve Jehovah God. We want to honor Christ. We want to serve Him, and we want to encourage others to serve Him. That's not a priority of the general population of the United States of America or any other nation on the face of the earth. We need to understand that God wants us to be different. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 106 made a statement in verses 35 and 36. If I can get there just for a moment. In chapter 35 and verse 6, it said, "They did not destroy the people." When they went into the land, God said, if you don't destroy the people that are there, the Canaanites, then they're going to become a thorn in your side. Verse 34 and 35, "They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them." Let me ask you a question. What are the idols that are being served by American people at large today? I would suggest three: sports, power, money. That's what the majority of people living even in America today, that's what is they're chasing, you know. Somebody said, you go to Egypt, you see the pyramids. You go to different countries, you see the monuments that they have built. What monuments has America built? Think about sports stadiums. There's a television program, American Built. I saw recently, this week, the stadium that is near the LA airport. They dug down 100 feet and built up so they wouldn't interfere with the flight patterns and that kind of thing. It is a fantastic, fabulous building. But that says something about the priorities of the American people. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The necessities of life, food, raiment, whatever you need, but the Lord has to be number one priority. They failed to live separate from the world. Jesus said, you are either for me or you are against me. That is the only choice that we have. And in Hosea chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, these people had deeply corrupted themselves. Corruption, we're hearing a lot about that in the news now. And it's very real. And I'm not trying to indict one party over another, but corruption is very real in America today. And it was very real when Hosea the prophet was speaking. In chapter 9 and verse 9, what he said to them there is, they have gone deep in depravity, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. The word corrupted there is used in other places to refer to calf worship. And the Israelites were doing what the Canaanites were doing. They learned from the Canaanites those rituals that they went through hoping to gain fertility for their crops and animals and things of that nature. And in chapter 11, in verse 7 of the book of Hosea, he said, so my people are bent on turning from me, though they call to the one on high, none at all exalts him. It's not enough to say, Lord, save us. We need to exalt God and hold him up and remind the people round about us. You know, we need to honor God with our lives every day. Chapter 11 and verse 7 says, my people are bent on turning from me, backsliding. We need to be sound and solid in our commitment to Christ and to honor him. He needs to have number one place in our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and also chapter 8 and verse 17, it says, why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened and heard, and they have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Think about that. These were God's people. And they were not honoring him. They were not being steadfast. They were not living lives that were in harmony with the fact that they said, we believe in God, we're serving him, but they were not exalting him. They were not looking up to him. They were not holding him up. to be seen by others. And the final point this morning is in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2, "And now they sin more and more, and make for themselves molten images, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. They say to them, 'Let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves.'" Apparently the images were molten like a calf, and people would kiss the calf. Think about that. People who had been delivered from Egyptian bondage, who had gone through the wilderness wanderings, who had come into the land that flowed with milk and honey. They were God's chosen people. He wanted them to be separate and different from those people. And you and I, even today, as people who are committed to the restoration of New Testament Christianity, need to know and understand that God expects us to be different, not just to be oddballs. We are to be different in that we stand for truth and righteousness. Think again about sports, money, power. Those are gods that are worshiped by many folks. Sometimes, unfortunately, if children are involved in these travel teams, a lot of times parents will, who are members of the church, will miss services so those kids can go and be in those sports. People will do many things for money. We see it in the news every day, the cryptocurrency thing that's out there right now. You think about power. People will do anything almost for power. But we need to know and understand that God wants us not to be like them, but to be separated from the world. We're going to live in this world, but we don't need this world living in us. Our lesson tonight will be dealing with Hosea's message for us. Hosea addressed the children of Israel, but there is a lesson there for us as well. And it'll be not this same lesson again, but one that I think will be applicable and helpful to us. If you in this audience this morning have come to understand and have learned the truth of the word and desire to obey the gospel, or if you as a Christian have not served the Lord faithfully, desire to be restored, if we can assist you in any way, please make it known as we stand and sing.